Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening. Welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now Blog Talk Radio Show, brought to you by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, also known as NASCA. My name is Tammy Schaffstall. I'm calling in from Lighthouse Point, Florida, and I'll be your host tonight. I'm also a survivor of child abuse. Tonight's show is an open mic show, question and answer, with our guest speaker is Barbara Joy Hansen. Barbara Joy is from Milford, Massachusetts, and she is a child abuse survivor and violence prevention expert. Her book, Listen to the Cry of the Child, is where she shares her journey. She and her husband work in prisons, homeless shelters, domestic violence conferences, and other facilities. She also facilitates a survivor group called Beauty Out of Ashes. It's always a pleasure to have Barbara Joy Hansen with us to the show. Before we get started, let me tell you a little bit about NASCA. The National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we're self-supporting through our own contributions. If you'd like to donate to NASCA, we could certainly make good use of the money, and if you choose to do so, it is tax deductible. Here at NASCA, we have a single purpose to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so from two perspectives. First, we educate the public, especially getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, and we present the facts to show child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. We also offer hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone who is interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Here at NASCA, we're fighting for kids and serving adult survivors. Be aware, be a voice, be a hero, be brave. Like I said, this is an open mic show. If you are listening, we know a lot of people do stream in, and that's wonderful. If you just call in and join the show, the telephone number is 646-595-2118. That's 646-595-2118, and we'd love to have you. Several people have called in tonight. We looks like we've got a pretty healthy panel already. We have Pamela in Louisiana, Peter in Ontario. We have our guest speaker, Barbara Joy Hansen, calling in from Massachusetts. We have Mark from Louisiana, and we have Katarina calling in from Canada. So thank you all for being here, and I'm going to go one at a time and open the mics and give you an opportunity to introduce yourself. And I'm going to start with Pamela in Louisiana. Good evening, Pamela. How are you?
Hello, Penelope. It's great to hear your voice again.
Oh, this is Tammy.
I'm sorry, Tammy.
Yeah. It's Tammy.
You know,
yeah. You know, hopefully it's still good to hear my voice. I know I have a southern accent, but there you go.
We'll hear you also.
Thank you.
And I'm looking forward to the I'm looking forward to the show tonight. I know it's going to be good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you for being here.
And you forgive
me. I appreciate this support.
You forgive me, right, for calling you Penelope?
Yeah,
you forgive me?
Of course. Okay. You know what? If you accidentally called me Penelope, she's a wonderful lady, so that would be a compliment. I'm not sure I could fill those shoes, but thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Cool beans. Thank you for being here. Next, I'm going to open Peter. He's in Ontario, Canada. Good evening, Peter. How are you?
G'day, Tammy. I could have been funny and said, g'day, Penelope, but you don't quite sound like Penelope. g'day, how are you? G'day, Pamela. Good to hear your voice again. It's good to be back on the Talk Back Radio tonight. I've been away from the panelists for a bit. I've been emotionally unstable for the past couple of days, but today I'm not too bad, so I'm ready to hear what's going on tonight.
Cool beans. Well, thank you for joining us, and I'm glad you're feeling better.
Good.
If you're down in spirits, sometimes calling in the show helps. Yeah, don't forget that you know we support each other, so it's great to have you here in better spirits. But it would be nice to have you when you're not feeling so well, and allowing us the honor of helping to support you. So
Thank you. There
you go. You're welcome. Thank you, Peter. Next, I'm going to go to my co-host, who is Mark in Louisiana. Good evening, Mark. How are you?
Oh, just fine, Tammy. How are you? Hey,
I'm doing very well in defense of
Pamela, you know, she does two shows a week with Penelope, so I guess she was thinking she was on a show with Penelope tonight.
Thursday night's our night usually, Mark, so anywho, it's quite okay. Like I said, you know, Penelope's a wonderful lady. I've been called a lot worse, so... you know, being called Penelope by mistake is a compliment. So there you go.
All right.
Well, thank you for being here, Mark. Thank you for adding the names. I really appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to the show as well. Miss Katarina from Canada, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Tammy. It's great to hear your voice. And I'm very excited to have Barbara Joy Hansen co-host as well, just because, you know, she's pretty amazing with some of the things she's doing out there. But it's really good to be on. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. Thank you for joining us. I know, Katarina, you can attest, because I know a couple of times you have told us, you know, I wasn't feeling good. I was kind of down in spirit, so I thought I'd call in. And hopefully you can give us a good testimony to anyone who may be listening, you know, on the panel or streaming in. But sometimes, you know, just a little bit of support helps. So I encourage anyone who is struggling, you know, and I understand sometimes we need our space, but, you know, sometimes it just helps to have a little support, and that's what we're here for, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, good deal. Thank you so much. It's always to have you here, Katarina. I am going to go to our guest speaker, our guest co-host, Ms. Barbara Joy Hansen. Like I said, she is a superstar in the advocacy world. She's calling in from Milford, Massachusetts, and she is an expert in child abuse surviving and prevention. And her book, again, is Listen to the Cry of the Child. Good evening, Barbara Joy. How are you?
Hi, Tammy, Peter, Mark, Katarina, Pamela. I'm so glad to have you all call in. I'm thrilled to be here. It's a blessing to be back on. You can add one more title to my name. This week... I was knighted, maybe that's the wrong word, but I was added as ambassador of Survivors Against Violence Everywhere, Massachusetts, with the Miss Texas show with Eileen Dong. and that's hopepyxglobal.org. Eileen has been a wonderful support to me. We are like very close sisters now. She came from Asia, and she works with survivors of domestic violence. She is a survivor, and she works with those that have been human trafficked. So I have had my second show with her, which has not been aired yet, but she just asked me if I would be an ambassador for New England, for Massachusetts, with the Miss Texas show. She is a winner of the Miss Texas show, and she did one interview with me that's going to be coming out May 5th, and which I'll put out there when it comes out, which is an interview. And then this week, a couple of days ago, we did a webinar together, and I did the I did Teens and Dating Violence, Why Am I So Messed Up? PowerPoint presentation webinar with her. So she introduced me. I did my entire show, which is about 43 minutes long, and then she closed at the end. And that will come out. I'm not sure. I don't have the date yet because she has to edit it. But what I did with her was it's a phenomenal, it'll be a phenomenal education for parents and kids and teens and preteens to help them understand what violence is in the home, and talks about bullying and the father in prison or the mother vacant or nobody home and the kids, you know, come home to an empty home. So I'm pretty excited about that. I had shared my part of my story with photographs of my life in the webinar, and then bullet points in why did I stay with an abuser, being my husband that, you know, shamed me and did things in our marriage. Pornography and infidelities came in, and why did I stay with him? And so I give a lot of education and awareness, and I wanted you to know about that new title for me.
Absolutely amazing. So, like I said earlier, you do wonderful work. You're a rock star in the advocacy world, so congratulations, and thank you for sharing with us. Absolutely. Well, I want to turn the mic over to you, Barbara Joyce, so you can set a theme if you choose to do so, or ask a question, or just address the panel that we have. So, Barbara Joyce, the mic is yours.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to ask anybody on the panel if they might have a question for me first before I present something that I might have, you know, prepared tonight. Does anybody
have any
questions?
All the mics, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you, but all the mics are open, so, you know, if anyone wants to ask a question or speak up, feel free.
I would like to ask Ms. Joy a question.
Okay.
Hi, Ms. Joy. This is Pamela. You know, on NAFCA, we interview so many different kinds of people who have been through so many kinds of abuse and from all different walks of life and all different ages, okay?
Right.
So, you know, it's really tough sometimes because the emotions it triggers during the interview, right? So, And we want to ask them about their emotions, but at the same time, we don't want to trigger them. So how would you handle that if you were hosting the show? What would you do if you were hosting and interviewing
We need to talk about our emotions, because most of the times, especially as children, if you've been abused as a child, which I was, you shut down, and traumatic amnesia, post-traumatic stress disorder is exactly like traumatic amnesia. So whether it's physical or sexual abuse or emotional, has long-term disturbances in the psyche, and we just, you know, go out of body, or we have nightmares and flashbacks. But it created in me a numbness, and So I didn't share my emotions until I finally had courage to face the clergy in a sex abuse case with support. And that I wrote about in my book, because that was a pretty traumatic experience for me to walk in the room and see somebody that had violated me and did sexual things to me and himself at a camp. He was a youth pastor. I was 11 and he was 27. So for me, I couldn't tell. My grandfather had done it to me with incest, and then the clergy. So for a period of 2 to 12 years, age 2 to age 12, those things shut me down, and it produced complete guilt, shame, anxiety, fear, sadness, anger, and an inability to trust. So for me, I didn't share. So yes, we need to talk about the things that create those severe PTSD and an emotional and a mental type of death. It was a death in my marriage when that happened. And in order to have intimacy, you have to let the walls down. Intimacy says into me, see. And you receive mixed messages from your family. Don't tell, don't feel, don't share, don't be you, don't trust, don't get close. Now, my parents did not tell me this, but when you've been abused, somebody else will tell you that has abused you. So therefore, you know, these are the mixed messages that we have. So does that answer your question somewhat? Pamela?
Well, somewhat. The other night I was interviewing a guest, and she started to have these emotions and feelings. I think she even started to cry. And I'm like, how do I interview her? Okay.
Because grieving is necessary, which I didn't understand. If you don't cry, you're stuck. If those tears don't come, the walls are up. So if she started crying, don't feel like you did something to create it. Maybe it did trigger something, but the triggers will bring the emotions out. So it's necessary for her to, be able to release those tears, or she's going to stay stuck. It's like taking the bandage off the wound and letting the pus come out, and when the tears come, that's a necessary part of healing.
Yeah, she caught herself and she came right back. She was very resilient through it, and it just, it broke my heart, but at the same time, here comes the hero out again, it was awesome.
Good. So it sounds like she stayed on the show and you were able to work through it.
Yes.
Good.
Thank you for your answer.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Does anybody else have any?
Yeah, before we go on, I'd like to welcome Darlene from Tennessee to the show and William from Alabama. Good evening, Darlene. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening. Thank you so much. And hello, Barbara.
Hi. Good to have you on again, Darlene.
Good to have you on. I can't wait to read your book.
Oh, have you ordered it?
Yeah, I ordered it.
You ordered it from me. I shipped it already to you.
Oh, okay. I'll be glad when I get to start reading it. I'm enthusiastic about that.
Thank you so much. Good. Me too.
Cool beans. Also, I'd like to welcome William from Alabama. Good evening, William. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad to be here. It's been a while, but I've dropped in. So I'm here tonight.
We're glad you did. Welcome to the show. We have Pamela from Louisiana, Peter from Ontario. We have our guest speaker and co-host, Barbara Joy Hansen from Massachusetts. We have Mark from Louisiana. Katarina is joining us from Canada. We have Darlene in Tennessee and William in Alabama. And I'm Tammy calling in from Florida, hosting from Florida. So we've got a very large, healthy panel, which is wonderful. I would just, with a large panel like this, I just want to remind everybody that we want to make sure anyone who wants to share gets the opportunity. Also, with such a large panel, especially before you start speaking, if you would just let us know your name,
like Pamela said, you know, hi, this is Pamela from Louisiana, or just this is Pamela, and then go on. That way we know, you know, who we're talking with. So with that said, you know, if I think Barbara Joy wanted to reach out to see if anyone else had another question, all mics are open. Thank you. If not, Barbara Joy, if you want to set a theme or get us going, that would be great.
Okay, I'm going to read a really brief story. She was such a tiny wisp of a little girl, but couldn't work circles around the other clerks. Every week she checked my groceries through her line. After 6 months of these friendly exchanges, she had become fairly well acquainted. We had become fairly well acquainted. In fact, I would make sure I went through her line so we could catch up on other things happening in her young life. As the weeks went by, however, I began to notice her eyes. They had become dark, sunken, and sad. I also noticed that she was losing weight. Although I tried to ask questions communicating on her appearance, I would always only get a vague reply. Strangers were around us. Our conversations grew shorter, and the beautiful smile began to fade. One day, I invited her over for tea. She came rather reluctantly. When she sat at my table, I saw a very frail-looking body with deep, sunken eyes. In the next 2 hours, as tears flowed from her pain-filled eyes, she began to share her story. The day she married her husband, his drinking and binge drugs also began, but they hadn't stopped. He was in and out of jail and drug rehabs and never held a job for more than a month. As the months passed by, his abuse and violence kept getting worse and more severe. And, she said, he's supposed to be a Christian. We go to church. So consider the ways that you can help a friend who's suffering from abuse. Do you know what to do when someone near you or close to you or maybe a stranger reaches out, is hurting? And do you know what to say to them when you meet a victim of sexual assault or domestic violence?
Okay. Would anybody like to respond?
I would.
Oh, we've got a quiet. Yeah, we got a quiet group tonight. Go ahead. I think that was Pamela.
Okay, this is Pamela. First of all, I would listen before I would ask any questions.
Yes, that's number one. Very good.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Katarina, what do you think? Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know who I was over talking. Were you finished, Pamela?
Well,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I would listen for cues because if you... What a person needs to look for is if that person is close to doing something to themselves, harming themselves or others. And that's the thing you would look for first before anything, because you want this person to be in a safe place.
Right.
And I'm finished.
Okay. I didn't mean to step on you when you were talking, so please forgive me for that. Katarina, what do you think about all this? Okay.
Yeah, it's such a great question, Barbara. And I'm so glad you're on tonight. That's why I called. So
thank you.
What I would do is I would probably just allow the person to talk. Listen, and just to open up myself, because the thing is, the reality is, it's not just about talking, but it's about genuinely being a safe person. And a lot of that requires us to do inner work on ourselves.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, another way we can help our friends or people that have gone through abuse or trauma is just mention something that you read or you listened to, or maybe you have a trauma story that you can share, and then they'll open up and they'll get something off their chest. But I think it's very important not to put any pressure.
Very good.
To expose or to express more than they're ready to divulge, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very good answer.
Absolutely. Let me go to William. Yeah, William. Thank you all.
Okay.
William, you served as in the law enforcement, correct?
Yeah. What the stuff like she's talking about gets into human trafficking and things like that. And that's a very serious issue because it gets into organized crime and drug dealers and drug cartels and the human trafficking into things, which is a real dangerous part.
Yes, and there's a lot of kids coming from Mexico into the U.S. now that are definitely going to be trafficked.
Right. Yeah, Mexico and South America.
Mm-hmm.
And even the United States, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah, they're everywhere.
Yeah, and it's a global problem, and the problem is the jurisdictional arm of the law ends at the U.S. borders.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem with that, because you're getting into different types of government policies and things that affect the trafficking and other things that go on with the different governments and regimes of the different governments and things. So that's another issue.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I think the answer that Darlene said was listening, and Katarina added, be supportive. I don't even think with a person like this, the one that I just read about. I mean, it's like Job's friends. Just sat with him in the beginning, but then when they started to talk, they damaged him even more. I don't think that we need to blame, because we've already been through enough blame. So that is number one. And don't ignore, like Katarina said, don't ignore the signs of abuse or if they are suicidal or even hint that, you know, don't ignore that at all. And I think if any of you heard Meghan Markle in the interview with Oprah, that really touched me this week with her inability to even escape the UK. She didn't have her license and she didn't have her passport and she needed help. She had contemplated suicide, and I just think that we just need to really be there for somebody and take them very, very seriously and give encouragement, be a shoulder to just lean on and listen to them. And then help them go get help if they need help. Help them to deal with it.
Hello?
Yes?
Okay, I didn't know if y'all heard me this time. Early that was Pamela that said about listening to them.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that would have helped is people not that they would seem to care, and you know, like if they see the abuse happen, report it. Don't just turn your back and close your eyes or anything like that. But another thing is not to confront the abuser, because you might think you cool things down, but you wait till you leave.
Yes,
it's going to be much worse on the lady. So you got to help her when he's not home, get everything together, and maybe your friend will be able to hold some of the stuff at your place. Or got to have the safety net of the important paperwork out of the house, so you're not stuck there, you know, when you got to get out to safety. Got to have a secure place where these papers are going to be. You like the birth certificates and all that kind of stuff?
Right. Very good point. Thank you.
Yeah, this is William. She made a good point on that, because that's what people need to get out of it. They need a safe place to go, and they need the means and the ways of doing that. So
right.
that's really involved in the safety net, because once you leave there, those guys and things, if they're involved in a lot of that stuff, they may have a problem getting out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not their fault. It's the situations they were placed into a lot of times that wound up causing that. And that's the problem with some of the stuff when it comes into different things, like you were talking about with Mexico and that, and the coyotes and the drug cartels
right.
and all that.
Yep.
So I've seen a lot of that, so I know that.
Yeah, and it's very real. They take your passport away, like with Meghan Markle. They take your birth certificate away, and then they traffic you, and you have no way to go, no place to go.
Yeah. And that's how they do it.
Yep. I know.
But it's not the individual's fault, usually. It's the people that are around them that actually are the people causing it.
William, do you know how many stay in a situation like this with domestic violence, like this woman? Do you know how many times it takes them to escape their abuser? Several, I know, but do you have any idea?
Well, it depends on the severity and the actual law enforcement into things that gets involved. And sometimes
mm-hmm.
the law enforcement in can't always get involved in certain situations because of the crazy laws.
Yeah.
So they have a problem with some of that itself, some of the laws and things. Right now, I'm taking a course that deals with human trafficking and international terrorism, and some of the stuff I'm reading about is like, really? How'd they get away with that?
Wow. That's good, though. Good for you.
Yeah. But that's why I'm reading this course and stuff like that. It's getting even more detailed because it's a course in security and police sciences, and it's like it's updating my skills and things, and
mm-hmm.
it's like, holy smokes, I can't believe they got away with that. That never happened back in the old days of community policing.
Mm.
It wouldn't get away
Well, it's a bad thing. It depends on whether the police are some of the perpetrators themselves, you know?
Well, now that's a problem as well.
Right.
Where you have them involved, you have corruption and things involved with the government agencies, which even goes down to law enforcement.
Right.
And that's a problem when you get into organized crime and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these guys are conspiracies and cartels, and they operate with big money and things like that, and people with a lot of power.
Mm.
Don't you think that the police need training too, though?
Oh, definitely. A lot of these police departments, they didn't even have human trafficking training until later.
Well, I'm talking about sexual abuse and domestic violence, too. I mean, not just trafficking, because we all haven't been trafficked. But
right. But
yeah, I think they really need victim impact testimonies. Like when I go into prisons, I speak to the sex offenders. The sex offenders are somebody's uncle, brother, father, and they need answers and awareness too. And there's not much in prison at all to help the inmates. I understand that because, you know, I've done my prison work for years, and so I go in and I give them a lot of answers and awareness in chapel. I weave my testimony, my backstory, with a sermon. And it's really helped them as well as helping me. I speak to the victim and the victimizer, the perpetrator.
Well, see, I know what you're talking about because our church is involved in prison ministry too. So,
right, good.
They deal with that too.
Yeah.
And so, I have some knowledge of what you're talking about.
Uh huh.
Well, I want to say that not only do the police officers and all that need training, but school teachers and all, too.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yeah, you hit a good point there, because they're the ones that have the most contact with those kids and things.
Yes, that's why I did my Teens and Dating Violence, Why Am I So Messed Up PowerPoint. if you get a chance and I get that out there with the Miss Texas show, I'm going to be putting it on NASCA on various sites. So make sure you get to see that because I think you're going to learn so much from – I've been to domestic violence conferences, and I've Googled various things, and I put together a pretty powerful – I think it's got about 95 slides. So you're going to get a lot of information and awareness on there as well. Have you ever heard of rainbow parties?
I haven't.
Well, the kid, okay, the teenager, preteens go to a party, and according to the color of the lipstick, they have to do a sex act. And I put that on my PowerPoint presentation. So you'll learn a lot when you see it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty wow.
I mean, it's crazy. Not only do they do sex show stuff, but they'll even light their chest on fire, you know, after pouring gasoline or something on there.
Right. We've got a little bit of background noise going on. I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but we do have some background noise going on.
Yeah, I hear some clicking, too.
It's a little bit hard to hear, so I'm not sure quite where that's coming from. But anywho, if you've got something going on in the background, feel free to go ahead and self-mute yourself so you can unmute when you want to chime in, and that'll take care of that. Darlene, I think you were speaking, so I didn't mean to cut you off yet again. I think I cut you off. I think it's the second time I did that, so I apologize. So go ahead.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up because I didn't hear nothing about that today. They take dares and all that kind of stuff even more serious than we did in our time. They're willing
oh, yeah.
to do anything for just the camera. They'll light themselves on fire. Some of them even want to come near death and be back revived and everything else. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. I address sexting, texting, sending pictures out. Dirty pictures will get to the pedophiles in an instant. And from kid to kid in the school. So these kids need to be educated. You're right. They haven't been, and that's what I do. I go right into the schools. I speak to universities and college students. And when I went to the Philippines for my 2 months, I spoke directly to the young kids. No, go, yell, tell. And then we told them on their terms what that means. If somebody pulls your hair or kicks you or, you know, touches you in the wrong place, no. Say no. Go. Tell. Yell. And they got it. But, of course, in Asia, you know, there's very little understanding of domestic violence or sexual assault. They don't talk about it at all. So I had doors that were wide open there. I went into 3 different prisons and spoke in the largest hospital in Davao City in the Philippines to social workers and policemen and women, men and women, and doctors and nurses, and did my PowerPoint on codependency, which was my own addiction rescuing. So, and that was another issue that I kind of wanted to bring up with codependency. If I can change the subject a little bit.
Sure.
Okay, so.
Well, before you do, wait a minute, before you
all
do,
right.
I wanted to give anyone who hasn't had the opportunity to speak on anything that may want to, and then we'll go on to the next subject, because we haven't heard from Peter in Ontario or Mark, and Katarina may want to make another comment. I don't know, but I wanted to give all you guys an opportunity to comment on anything that we've talked about before Barbara Joy goes on. Anyone?
It's Peter from Ontario, Canada here. Good to hear everybody. And if I can make just say this, but I do want to say happy Women's Month for this month. You women do a lot, and not, you know, us men don't realize the work that you females can do. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
You were talking about with, you know, how things go about with sexual abuse and all that, I don't know if many of you read a posting on that I put on NASCAR that just here in Chatham this past Monday, a suspect promised to keep his nose clean, which he had charges withdrawn he was luring a minor under the 16 years, and he got a slap on the wrist. Now he has to have a peace bond, which he can't commit a crime. So he doesn't have a criminal record. And you know, this just happened this week. It happened in the court, at the court case that, you know, that this man did this crime to lure a 16 years old, and also something. He was also charged with, in regards to wanting to I can't think of the word, but to introduce child pornography to this minor, and this 42-year-old, he gets a slap on the wrist. And, you know, and the judge says, oh, okay, here's a peace bond for you. I mean, who's doing the sucking up here? Is it the lawyer?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the judge? Or is there something that's a little fishy that, you know, they're not letting on? But how is that fair? I mean, you know, he's not even on registry.
Wow.
Right.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, but, you know, it was something that William from Alabama shared with us, you know, with the cartels and the power and the money. You know, I don't know what that situation is because I'm not familiar with it, but all too often, you know, money talks, you know, or, you know, who was he involved in? You know, what ties does he have with someone? It makes you wonder,
right,
doesn't it, Peter?
Yeah. I mean, the responses that I got when I posted, oh my goodness! I mean, Penelope, for one, she stated that was unbelievable, and that just proves that there is so much more work that needs to be done in protecting children or any minors that are under the age of 16. I mean, you know, and then I had Carol posted saying that, you know, it is called Who You Know. And how much money do you have? So
right.
You pretty much said what Carol said in the posting, and you know, I don't know what to say. It's just, you know, you could do something wrong like that, and you won't get the slap on the wrist, and you're going to get put in the jail. But
right.
You know, but this person, I'm still trying to learn the Ontario justice system, but I don't like it. It's part of my language, but to me it really stinks because the cops need a little bit more knowledge in the kind of work that they do, and without accusing, you know. So I don't know. Corrupt cops is what I call it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, right. Pornography starts as young as 6 years old, and that was part of what I put in my PowerPoint presentation on teens. And that's usually where it starts with pedophiles, as you know, and then it goes to child abuse. So it is such a crime. People need to understand is a violent crime.
Right.
And I agree with you. Yeah, I just found it. He the police had charged him of making sexually explicit material available to this person that was under the age of 16, and then what? Gets a slap on the wrist, and the judge says, "You be a good little boy now, and you got a peace bond now, and you can't commit a crime."
And he will.
So for what purpose? I mean, does that mean he just walks around willy-nilly and scot-free and said, "Yeah, why is it everybody?" And said, "Hey, I know how to lure kids without getting into trouble." That, yeah, I feel like using a harsher word to that, but I don't want to because there's ladies present on this channel, so I need to watch my vocabulary.
Thank you for sharing that, though, Peter. That's a item that just curls my hair.
I have no more words to say about that. When I saw it, I don't know. I dropped my tablet on the floor because when I saw it, I couldn't believe it. So, anyway, next. I'm done.
Hello, Mark.
Oh, I'm here.
Oh, do you have something to say?
Well, I was going to go back, and it's probably from the very, very beginning the question asked, you know, about when children come and they want to talk to you and you sense that there is abuse going on. Now, I remember learning in a seminar we were at that you should let them talk. Let them always talk. Give them time. Even if it takes a while for them to talk, just don't interrupt them. Don't give them questions that will cause judgment or, confuse them. Just let them talk and then tell them you believe them and that's not their fault, so that they can share the story, and then you can go further and get it to the people who can actually help. Because, like myself, I'm not in a position to, as far as a social worker or a counselor, but if someone does bring it, then you want to direct them in the place where they can go.
Right. Can you guys hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Because sometimes my phone will shut off. Well, I want to give Barbara Joy an opportunity to comment, and then I want to go to Katarina. So, Barbara Joy, what do you think about what Mark just responded?
No, you need to listen to your children, or if you see any signs of abuse in a child, and I certainly had many signs. My body shut down. I couldn't start my period. I couldn't conceive a child when we got married. I had nightmares, anxiety, fearful, all those things. And when you see those signs, parents don't often pick up on those signs. And it's terrible to see a child be abused, number one. But if the parent doesn't understand what they have gone through and they haven't had any training or knowledge of it, which my father, being a clergy, did not. So he was the first person I told about my grandfather, and he made me shut down for 3 more years. So, there, only 6% of clergy had been trained, and thinking that my father could help me, he wept when he heard my grandfather had done it. But You know, we do need to listen, and I agree with you about Peter, about talking to your children and listening to them, or maybe just without getting graphic, we need to talk to them about safe touch, good touch, bad touch, and I mention that in my book, about those kind of things, to talk to your children and listen to them, and definitely believe them. If they've come to you and trusted you to tell you, never ever blame them or make fun of them or insult them or make them feel worse, because they're going to shut down forever from you. I agree with you.
I mean, if you don't mind, if it's all right if I could speak on just
sure.
From that comment you just made, who was the lady that was just talking?
Bobby Joy.
Barbara, did you say?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Barbara, I so agree with what you just said, you know, how, you know, about how, in regards to, is it, you know, about teaching the children, you know, like, my parents never believed me in the first place when I was molested and forced into incestuous with a family member. And so, you know, my parents never sort of like taught me and my sister the birds and the bees and what's down there and what's down there back, you know, back those days in the 70s, you know.
And
so it was basically, you know, you deal with the consequence. That was it. So it and, you know, and now with today, you know, right now with the pandemic, it's even more dangerous because it gives more of the parents to go after kids. And I do also believe that I heard someone mention a parent was charged for a murder somewhere down in the States for abuse. You know, I mean, how cruel can you get? What can a child do if they are in trouble? It's not like they might have the lungs to squeal and scream, but you know they're scared out of their brain.
That's right.
And you know I heard you say something about with Oprah Winfrey, but I've heard Dr. Phil say when he's talking to couples on his show when it comes involvement with children, and that famous quotation that he always throw at you, how dare you bring your children in an adult affairs? And if you, because he's a mandate reporter, and he told him, you do that, I'm going to report you.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't, you know, it's, oh my blood's boiling. Sorry.
Right. Well, we lost Katarina. Hopefully she'll call back. I wanted her to have an opportunity to talk. So hopefully, sometimes her phone goes out, but hopefully she'll call back. Katarina, if you're listening, please call back. And I wanted to thank everybody for their comments this go around. If no one has anything else to comment on what we've talked about so far, we've got 37 minutes. I think Barbara Joy wanted to kind of change gears. So Barbara Joy?
Yeah, well, I did find a poem that was written by a 22-year-old that whose family was superstitious. After her poem was read, they thought she would cause the death of her father and future husband, so she was forced to leave home. And after much suffering, she applied for a job advertised in a newspaper, and as it turned out, she was sold as a prostitute to Japan. And with help with her church, she moved back to Taiwan, and she wrote the following poem. And it kind of goes along with what we were just talking about. Women are not consumer products to be sold by parents, to be traded by men. Whose fault is it? Society? My parents? My own? We are flowers stepped on until every ounce of dignity fades. Am I supposed to accept this? I couldn't even believe it really happened to me. I thought I could trust my parents. There are many more like me, forsaken by father and mother, suffering at the hands of men who have locked away any conscience. When will this ever end? And I think it goes along with what we were just talking about. We're mothers, we're daughters, we're sisters, and survivors, and it is National Women's Day or month this week, and I appreciate the affirmation that was given to us, because as women and men, we need to speak up and speak out and help our children and our grandchildren understand this is not acceptable, but so many homes don't talk about it, they don't address it, they don't speak about it, and with the pandemic, these kids are locked up in a home with alcoholic fathers, abusive dads, or brothers or sisters, or parents, and it's become a pandemic in itself with this pandemic. So that was my little poem at the end of what we were just speaking about. So, but I'd like to change the subject. and I'd like to talk about avoidance, life after loss and grief. Avoidance often leads to codependency on others who are as unhealthy as we have become. We have been clinging to people, places, and things rather than face our own issues of loss. Surrounded by insecurity, failure, addictions, and grief, emotions we have often avoided or maybe avoided for our life. Holding on to things, something or someone familiar seems to ease the pain, at least for a little while, seemingly making our escape possible to feel better about ourselves. But unfortunately, when our fears and insecurities keep us bound to unhealthy relationships or patterns, we prevent our new, more healthy life of recovery from developing. So my question is to you, how have you moved from codependency and rescuing into a better or more mature life of recovery? And how have you gotten courage to turn away from things or people you have used as crutches into a life of peace?
Can you ask that question again?
Yeah. How have you moved from codependency? Codependency means I put your needs ahead of my own. I take care of you before I take care of myself. So we have rescued, and that's what codependency is. Many of us have, including myself. So how have you moved from codependency and rescuing others into a more mature life of recovery? So what have you learned about yourself in rescuing, and how have you gotten courage to turn away from those kind of people that you maybe used as crutches into a life of peace and more fulfillment now? Or maybe you haven't yet.
This is Pamela. I've got a great, I'm 63 and I have a great, story or stories to tell you about how I became codependent, helping
okay.
others.
Yes.
I brought gang members in our house when my children were growing up.
You sound like me. So did I.
Yeah, and it wasn't very pretty because, they're gang members for heaven's sake, but they weren't they were like wannabes. They were kids, you know. But I just thought I could save the world. Right?
So did I.
and it's like, my husband can tell you, honey, tell him what all I was doing at that time.
Oh, a whole host of things. I think you even kind of reverted back to your younger days.
Yeah.
But didn't you learn about yourself from that behavior? Like, I mean, I did. I had to finally look in the mirror, turn away after 8 years of bringing them in. And I'm talking about gangsters. Men in prison, and Boston gangster we brought in one time, but motorcycles, because we rode a motorcycle, and a lot of them are ex-convicts. So what did
you
learn
think,
about?
Well, I learned eventually to grow up. That I can't be that young person anymore. I mean, I was trying to not grow up and trying to, I don't know, escape from my pain and help them with their pain, you know?
Right, yeah.
Is that,
so was
does
I.
that make sense?
Oh, yes.
Does that make
Absolutely. It does, because I did the same thing. I wanted to rescue everybody because of the compassion, the deep gift of compassion that I have that God gave me. But, boy, are you primed for violence with that, because you're like a magnet.
Exactly. And if it hadn't been for the grace of God, that could have really turned into a bad situation.
Oh, yes.
And God made a way out. He had us move back to Louisiana. And I was always picking people up on the side of the road. I found a vet one day and brought him home. And he was so scared of us, he wanted to sleep outside. And I was like, okay, whatever. But, I mean, you know, just so many people, I just wasn't scared of helping anymore. You know, it's like, I mean,
you risk you risked your own happiness for the sake of somebody else's. That's what happens.
Why though, Miss Joy? Why is that?
Well, because of your gift of mercy, you want to save everybody else. But unfortunately, neither of us, including myself, hadn't found my purpose yet. I didn't understand how to heal. I was so bleeding inside. I was stuck with post-traumatic stress disorder, and my husband and I, you know, gone through marriage. He had betrayed me in our marriage, and pornography came in. So our marriage was dead. And so I was probably filling that void with these men, and these were adult men that we brought in, and women too, prostitutes, ex-prostitutes, in and out. So that was filling a void that was empty. So you were probably doing the same thing.
Did your husband not like you doing that? Was he not?
No, he was right there with me. He was right there.
Oh.
And the kids, we had teenage boys, and they thought it was a trip and a half having these gangsters in and hearing their stories of murder and, you know, and all the things that that we heard at our dining room table. No, he was part of it. Because he had an addiction to codependency as well. So when, you know, yeah.
Well, one of the things that happened from it, about 40 gang members got saved. We put up a tent.
Yeah.
And we had some ex-gang members come out and play. And we had some speakers come out. And 40 gang members got saved. Then we left.
The similar thing happened with me, too. I reached out to a heroin junkie, 19 years younger than me. And when he came out of prison, he went right back to drugs and alcohol, as often they do, and crack houses, and called us. And, you know, we had met him in prison. And over an eight-year period, I did that, too. I rescued. Always had an answer when he called and said, can you help me? So I always stepped up, but then I started writing letters, and he did to me. But when we went to the crack house one time, all those that would become drug dealers, all the kids, the babies they had out of wedlock, and the preteens and teenagers that were living in the crack house, sat on the porch one day while he was in his drug-induced coma in the drug den, and he started packing when he realized I was outside with my husband. All those kids would have become drug dealers, and I led the woman that he was drug dealing with to Christ, and the crack house got shut down. So God brought good out of it, and I could have been tragically harmed, but God protected me, as he did you, Pamela. So, you know, he watched out for us, and our guardian angels were there for us.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it today, though.
I wouldn't either.
Nope.
Well, thank you for sharing that. That's beautiful. Anybody else go through codependency?
Well, we have lost several people. We lost the Katarina. She dropped off. William has dropped off, and Darlene has dropped off. So we have Pamela from Louisiana, Peter from Ontario, and Mark from Louisiana. And, of course, I'm calling in from Florida. So that's who we got left on the panel. So all
okay,
mics
Tammy,
are open.
I know you have something to say.
Me?
Sure.
I've just been listening.
You were a rescuer.
I am a rescuer. You know, a lot of times, you know, I guess I don't think I've even responded to the first go around. You know, a lot of times, you know, sometimes you just have to listen. You know, you just have to listen. Sometimes people just need to get it out. I know a lot of times people may be eager to, you know, respond and, you know, and give advice. And men in particular, you know, they want to fix things. Sometimes people just need to get it out. So that's, you know, when I come across folks who, you know, that, you know, need to, you know, to get their story out, I just try and listen. And, you know, a lot of times when I'm out and about, you know, that I'll give a card. I gave one of my cards away last night. You know, they may not even say anything right away. I've had people come back. They'll take it in. They you can just see them just, you know, mentally cut off. And then they'll come back and start asking questions. So sometimes you never know, you know, just a couple of words may go a long way. Codependent,
yeah.
You know, I am, you know, I'm codependent with my, my son's enabler, and it's horrible. He's, you know, he's got drug issues, and, you know, it just breaks my heart to see him where he is. So, you know, we can be codependent trying to help someone, you know, putting his needs above mine. And it's just heartbreaking to see someone go through what they go through, whether it's, you know, whatever the case may be with me, it's my son. You know, as survivors, we have, you know, various different things going on in our lives, but, you know, being codependent and trying to help someone you love, or trying to reach out to a friend, or, and just, you know, you want to help them, you want to give them, but, you know, then you start putting their needs above your own, and, you know, helping them in ways that's not really beneficial to anyone, particularly ourselves.
Right.
It's easy to get into that codependent trap. It is very much so, especially when you're dealing with people you care about.
That's all I have to add
on that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, thank you.
Anyone else? Sure. Thank you.
Well, I don't know how to go about this, because I don't have children of my own. My wife Michelle doesn't have any children herself either, but as far as myself, you know, I do tend to care more about others than I worry about myself. Even though that I have people around me that do show concerns for me, but I tend to want to push them aside and worry about them first. And not worry about it, because I feel that I, you know, I need to, I don't know, need to find a way of how to do it myself, but I know that I can't. I am doing my counseling, and, you know, you were talking about emotions earlier, you know, I find it very difficult of showing the kind of emotions from pain, from the hurt that happened when I was a child. And because, you know, Mark will probably vouch for me on this, but, you know, we're men. You know, big boys aren't meant to cry. You know, we're supposed to be strong, you know. Tough it up, you know. You know, as far as it has been co-avoidance or dependent, as you said, that's just me, you know, I can care about others. I child in Colombia, and I guess I was caring more about him than worrying about myself. And, you know, he was an adorable little boy, and he looked up to me. I looked down to him as the wish that he could be my son, but it couldn't be. My healing is still far from it, and I got a long way to go. And I also think I heard that we're all on this journey, and then a journey can, for me, I know, is that a journey can end forever and will never end. So before I know that I can start helping others and use my tools to help and guide others, I feel that I need to look at myself first and try and fix myself up before I can try and give some kind of guidance or advice to others.
Peter, do you like to read?
I read from time to time when I feel like if I'm in the mood. Sometimes I'll read the Bible if I need to, or if I...
Mm-hmm.
I do read, but I've got to be in that mind to read.
because I would recommend, and not because I wrote it, but when God anointed me, he appointed me to set other captives free. I think my book would be an excellent resource for you to read. So I don't know if you have a computer. I'll give you my email address.
Sure. Will you be putting your email address on Facebook on the Nascar's line, or?
Would you have a pen?
Oh, all right. I didn't think you could do that on the phone.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you my phone number and my email address. And I'd like to hear from you because I've had so many Zooms and podcasts and Facebook Live Zoom shows that I think my interviews would help you a whole lot, as well as my book. So copy this down, my email address, small case letters, are Bobby Joy B.
Okay, hold on.
Okay.
All right, let's try that again. So we got.
Okay, it's Bobby Joy, B O B B I E J O Y. Don't capitalize them, they're all small case. Bobby Joy Hansen, H A N S E N. Got that?
Yes.
At Juno, J-U-N-O, dot com. J-U-N-O, Juno, dot com.
Okay.
And my website, you can go on there and you can see some of my interviews. I've got a couple more that I just had that I haven't put on yet, is listentothecry.org.
listentothecry.org. Right. Okay.
And you'll see some of my interviews, and if you email me, I'll send you a couple of my stories that I've written up for magazines. I've probably written in about 23 magazines and my story up, and I'd love to help you.
Yeah, I mean, I am doing counseling, and it's been tough with the pandemic, but, you know, it's just, you know, and when you feel like you want to help others, you know, it's just because when I got so involved with my church,
mm-hmm.
You know, it was more like I'm reaching out to him more than I'm trying to reach for myself. So, you know, I'm sort of like, I'm thinking like, where am I in this picture? I'm so like thinking about Jesus instead of myself, you know. It's very much how it is with me, is that.
Well, thank you for sharing that, because that's very honest of you to share.
I feel that sometimes I'm very selfish, but, you know, why I don't bother looking upon myself, because I know I still got a lot of garbage in my mind. In my head that I need to contend with and try and move forward. Even though that I have been told by several of the people from NASCAR that you're not going to forget it, but you can try and move on, because a child will be scarred for life, from what I've been told and what I've heard, that a child is scarred. The only way they're going to get scarred is to heal that scarring is to seek out and reach out, get the help and the guidance. So, you know, I also do thank NASCAR as well. Pamela, for one, who encouraged me to come onto this talk show when I first told my story. And this group has been a blessing, and I will enjoy making conversation and communicating with you too, Bobby.
Thank you. And just remember that it's been a long journey out for all of us. It took me 38 years to even tell. And now I'm doing wonderful, and our marriage is still intact and healed. My husband's behind me now. It took a long, long, long time to trust him. But recovery is slow and ongoing, and it's not something you get over. You can't just forget your past. You know, you can't just shut up and shut down, but it's layers upon layers upon layers that need to come out, and honesty, which you did tonight, and I appreciate that. You're caring for others, and that's important, but yes, you need to take care of yourself, get the rest you need, get the sleep, the food intake, and maybe read a magazine or a book and just enjoy a TV show once in a while, not a violent one, but
yeah. I mean,
those are good answers.
I admit, and I think my wife, Michelle, might be hearing this, but I do have funny ways of showing the love to her, because sometimes when she does ask me to help, it's just like a... there's a switch, like a selective hearing,
mm-hmm.
or I want to hear whenever I want to. You know, there's a lot more that did happen with my past that not a lot of people know about. But anyway, I'm holding up this radio talk, so I can talk with you later, Bobby.
Thank you, Peter. I wanted to ask Miss Bobby a question. This is Pamela.
Okay,
Miss Bobby, can you tell us how your book is going to help a survivor like myself? What is it going to do to help me?
Well, I give a lot of answers and awareness in my book. It's part of my story dedicated to my husband, and these are some of the chapters. I'll just run down them quickly. Dedicated it to my husband. I wrote a foreword in it, and how I felt overwhelmed and questioned and criticized by my family and my husband because of my ministry to the least of these, and how I feel so unworthy of the call. And I wrote that in the foreword. Wrote about the acknowledgments, people that meant the world to me, that I wrote about in the first couple pages of my book, with gratitude, people that helped me and listened to me and were there for me, and including my parents. And I put a few scripture verses in between those. And then there's the introduction to wholeness from wounds of brokenness, and watching Oprah in 1998, and how people were on our show, and how I wanted to tell my mother desperately. I had told my dad, and I couldn't tell her. And so that was, keeping the secret to suppressing anger to Pandora's box bend, and what the sins of the fathers do as they started weeping and grieving for the loss of my childhood innocence, and what fear does. And then I go into the next chapter, A Life Shattered by Abuse, and I talk about my family being one of those Kodak families that I thought was perfect, which of course it wasn't. And then I talk about the second abuser in that chapter, and then my journey out of ashes, where I have pictures of me. My book is full of illustrations and pictures, and how I came out from the abuse by telling my dad, and the root of sexual abuse. And I give a lot of hope for the abused, denial versus embracing, denial of our past, and embrace the truth to live, and talking to your loved ones who don't understand, the lost little girl standing in the corner holding her blanket, sucking her thumb. You'll never understand the lonely, fearful adult who's angry and confused and silenced by years of denial. So I go into my ministry somewhat. And then the next chapter, Love Through Adoption. Because of the abuse, my body literally shut down. We tried for years. Infertility happened. I went in the baby department looking at blankets and wanted a baby desperately, and I couldn't. So like Hannah in the Bible she conceived and gave birth to a son and named him Samuel. And we, through the gift of another mother, adopted our firstborn son, and then 5 months later I got pregnant. And that was, and then the next chapter is a legacy of the adopted child. Then the next chapter, which is a very hard, was not hard to write because I had it all in pain journals, was Beyond the Darkness of Betrayal. That's my marriage vows that were broken by the affairs by my husband, and a new start in our marriage. And then I went through postpartum depression, very severe, and how my mother took me in. And she didn't know why I was depressed, but she gave me a gift that was priceless. And she loved me and took care of me when I had my baby, my second child. And severe testing when I was searching for answers and how I felt, and searching, you know, to get hope. And then we went to a marriage encounter. I wrote a chapter about that in there. And how I faced the accused, the sex offender, and then how I was called by God is in another chapter, and exposing the evil in my life. And then in the last few chapters, how I prayed over a blind man and he received his sight. I picked him up like you picking up people on the street. And he became a very good friend, and he was a Christian. And then miraculous healing. And then on another chapter, God's Designer Original, one chapter where I go into prison. And it's just a wonderful story of hope filled with answers and awareness. And the chapter, The Bird Flies Free, says, and even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth far more than sparrows, Matthew 10:30-31. One who has been sexually abused hates dark houses, loves open windows, hates closed doors in the cold, dark days of winter, loves spring and new growth. With the simple wonder of a child, I love my beautiful flower gardens, getting my hands in the dirt to plant tiny seeds and watching green shoots come up. The more time I spend outdoors in the summer, the better I feel. Everything comes alive in my gardens. Baby robins trying out the tiny wings for the first time. Butterflies emerging from cocoons and bumblebees getting nectar on my lavender iris. The anticipation of spring, I painted several birdhouses in a bright green, blue, and red, and the birds nested in my forsythia bush, fed at the bird feeders, drank from the hummingbird nectar, and took baths in the bird baths. When I completed my first draft of my manuscript, my husband surprised me with a very unique birdhouse made out of copper and tin. It's round and has a pointed shingle tin roof and has an open door. He didn't realize the significance this gift had for me. When birds' feathers are clipped like brightly colored parrots in a pet shop, they can't fly. That's how I felt until God began to heal me. As I complete this manuscript, I give praise to God my Father. This child is now free to fly at last. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name, Psalm 142:7. So that was one chapter in my book I just read.
Man, that's awesome.
Amen.
It's a book I couldn't stop writing.
I
wrote it in 1 week.
I got chilled. But can you tell me how many pages it is?
179.
And it's a page turner, I bet.
Yeah, you can't. People tell me they can't put it down. I sell copies on the beach. I sell copies at Walmart. Anywhere I go, I hand my cards out like Tammy does. And when I show the cover of my book, people are so gravitated towards it because it's a picture of me with a tear holding my teddy bear with a garbage heap. And, you know, the seed was planted in that cracked pot that grew into the flower. The only thing in color is the rose. And it's a page-turner because when God anointed me, he also appointed me to set other captives free. So the book is so worth reading. My phone number is 508-473-1280. You can call me and get a copy from me, or go on my website, listentothecry.org. I believe my email address is on my website. And, you know, communicate with me and Facebook me if you haven't yet.
Okay. I certainly will.
And order this because it's tax deductible with NASCA, with me being a part of NASCA. 501c3 co-hosting. You can order it from me, and you'll love it, and you'll probably end up wanting to get copies for others.
Yeah, I have a website, Women Survivors in Business, and I'm going to be putting other people's books up there. I'm going to take them on consignment and put them on my website. Yeah, and the other thing was, one more thing before I go. How do people see it? What do they say when they see it, like at Walmart, like you said? How do they react?
Oh, I sit in front of Walmart. I have a wonderful manager that allows me to fundraise, and I've sent some money into NASCA, and the rest of the money goes for human trafficking and those that have been violated. I give copies out if somebody drops a $20 bill in, and they can't, and they don't want the book. Then I give it to you know, gay, lesbian. I've had cross-dressers, you know, people that need healing, and I know who they are. And there was a robbery that happened while I was doing that one day, and the police were running right in the store and grabbing the person and arresting them right outside in front of me, in front of my table. So I've been very blessed to be able to hand out my business cards and my brochures. And if you order a book, I'll send you, you know, some of my cards and my brochures and things that I pass out.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on the show. It's been awesome.
It's been a good show.
It has been a good show. We had a huge panel at first, and a couple of people have dropped off, but we still they still got the most of the show. So I wanted to thank everybody. We've got 2 minutes later. I wanted to thank Ekaterina for coming on. She's out of Canada. And then Darlene and William for coming on, if they're still listening. I know that they're friends, and William gave us some great advice on, you know, from a policeman's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that anyone who was listening, that was most valuable. I want to thank Pamela for coming on and supporting me, and Mark in Louisiana for being my co-host, and Peter in Ontario for contributing to the show. We're blessed to have each and every one of you on the show. If anybody wants to make a final comment, now's the time, because we've got literally 2 minutes left of the show. So does anyone want to make a comment?
I just want to say thank you, Bobby.
Thank you.
Great to hear you. I'll be looking forward to maintaining contact with you.
Okay, I look forward to hearing from you, too. Thank you so much for calling in. I got a lot out of each and every one of you.
Absolutely.
I'll be ordering your book. This is Pamela.
Good, Pamela. Thank you. And we use PayPal if you want to do it that way, or you can send a check. But if you email me at bobbyjoyhanson@juno.com, which you can get it on my website, listentothecry.org, my email's on there. You know, we can communicate. My email's on my website too.
Absolutely. Okay. For anyone who's listening, if you go to the front page of the NASCA website, where it's got this week's talk show host, and if you click on Barbara Joy Hansen's name, it'll bring up a Facebook site as well. So, I just got the 60 second mark. So with that, Mark, do you have a really quickly final comment?
Well, I just wanted to say thanks for coming on the show, Miss Barbara, and it was a great show and a lot of insight. So appreciate you, and we'll be hearing from you next month.
Yes, praise God. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to end the show with saying God bless the children of the world, and God bless adult survivors of child abuse. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for the support. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.